and I will be content.
Talking about, so that's one aspect where we see, he's talking physically, but really he's really talking spiritually. He has a deeper spiritual meaning. You look down to verse 21, the same chapter, where the Lord talks about anger. He says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment." So the Jews that Jesus was speaking to, they would have known the laws of Moses, and that they would have known that killing someone is a bad thing. Pretty much everybody here would say killing someone is a bad thing, right? And so many of those would say, "Well, Lord, I haven't killed anybody, so I'm a good person." And how many times have I heard that before as a pastor? "Well, I didn't kill anybody. I didn't sleep with my neighbor's wife, so I'm a good person." Jesus says, "No, you're not really that good of a person, because that same heart of anger that kills someone is in your heart, and so therefore you have anger in your heart." So again, he's dealing with the more spiritual issue. And then we get into our scripture today in context. From verse 27 to 30, it says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go to hell." So again, he says, you know, adultery is not just the act. The adultery is the heart. It's the lustful intent. That's where adultery begins. And so Jesus is really confronting the issues of the heart. He is talking to some deep spiritual things, all right? And so in this context, in everything that he's saying, we have to conclude that what Jesus is saying has to do with the heart. In other words, the issue of sin dwells in the heart. You know, the eyes are only gateways. They're gateways to your mind, or gateways to your heart. So what you see comes through your eyes, but then you, as a believer, have a decision to make. Especially as a man, you have a decision to make. Am I going to allow that thought to sit on the throne of my heart? Am I going to allow that thing that I see stir up covetousness in my life? Am I going to allow it through the gateways? Am I going to allow it to sit and rest in place of my heart? And so, therefore, your eyes are gateways, I would say that your hands and your feet are servants to your heart desire. In other words, if I want to work and work diligently, then my heart's involved, but yet the way that I do that is through my hands and through my feet. If you see someone who is hungry and you want to help them, your heart's like, "Man, I just want to help them," then your members serve as a servant, basically to help that person. And so that's what we kind of have this mindset of. And so he goes back to that verse. He says, "If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away." So why use such strong language? Why use this type of terminology? I would say because it works. It gets your attention, right? Like, you might have been just in service, just chilling or whatever, but then you hear, "Take your right eye and rip it out, and take your arm and throw it off." Like, "All right, I'm paying attention now, all right?" Like, what is he promoting? It got their attention. It made them realize the severity of what sin, and how sin separates us from a holy and perfect and righteous God. He says, "Do anything, do everything that's in your power to, and get that sin out of your life, because it leads to destruction. It leads to death, and not only in your life, but in those around you, in those who are watching you, in those who are following after you. It leads to death. Rip it out," is what he would say. He would say, "Tear it out, cut it off, and throw it away." Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." If you're dealing with lust in your life, the Lord would say, "Rip it out, Rip it out. His ways are so much better. And you're filling your life with this. You're trying to satisfy yourself with the things of this world, and it will never satisfy you. Rip it out, tear it out, throw it away. You know, so as we're watching what's coming through the gateways, you know, your eyes can be used for good. The members of your body can be used for good. And so that's another reason I believe in the scripture. The Lord is not talking literally, because you are to be of use. You are to be of good use in this earth. You are to promote the kingdom of God. And so with your eyes, you affirm your spouse, you're the only one for me. You know, there is no other one. With your eyes, you show contentment. With your eyes, you love your kids at times. And then at times with your eyes, you're like, you discipline your kids, right? With your same eyes. But it's all for the same purpose, because you're trying to demonstrate love. With your eyes, you see someone who's in need, someone who just needs love and attention with your eyes, and it moves you to action. With your eyes, you behold the grandeur of the mountains. You behold the beauty of the skies and all that God created, and you just think, man, God is so awesome. He created this. He just spoke that into existence. With your eyes, you give glory unto God. You're mesmerized. And so to rip out your eyes physically kind of robs you of the experience of giving glory unto God. So in other words, your members, your eyes, your arms, they're useful, all right? So they're in that sin itself. Sin sits in the heart. And Jesus is so passionate, and he is like so wanting us to leave those things that are just robbing us, that are robbing us from true life, that are just destroying our lives. He says, look, my ways are better. Tear it out. Cut it off. Throw it away. He is so much better. Amen. Can anybody testify in this place that Jesus is better? Amen. So Jesus kind of uses the same language when he talks about, you know, the other body parts or the other extremities. He says, and if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go to hell. I hope you hear the severity of what Jesus was trying to say, that sin, it has to go. It has to go. It's leading to destruction. It's destroying your life. It's destroying your kids' life. It's destroying your grandkids' life. It has to go. So notice, too, that it's an imperative statement. He says, tear it out. In other words, you tear it out. Cut it off. You cut it off. Throw it away. You throw it away. Guess what? You let it in, you get it out. Jesus didn't twist your arm and make you drink until you was drunk. He didn't do that. So if drunkenness is a thing that the Lord is dealing with you with, tear it out. Throw it in the garbage. Throw it away. Rip it from your life. If it's leading to destruction, if it's destroying every single relationship in your life, you need to rip it out. You need to throw it away. I know whenever I first got saved, there's a radical transformation that took place in my life. I had to rip apart friends who I thought were friends because they were not leading me in the right place. There were addictions in my life that were not helpful to a healthy relationship with the Lord. I had to cut those things off. You know, there were even things that I believed growing up that I was taught. And whenever I'm looking at the word, it doesn't quite line up with what, you know, what I was taught. So therefore, guess what? I have to rip that out too. Any type of philosophies that I was holding on to that wasn't the word of God, I had to rip it out and throw it away. It was not of God. If you're going to be serious about living for the Lord, if you want to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant, a responsibility falls on us. Yes, we are saved by grace, and we are saved by faith alone in Jesus. Thank the Lord, right? And that our works cannot save us. Amen. But at the same time, the process of sanctification requires us to align ourselves with the Word of God. We have to put action with our faith. And so if we want to be set free from a certain thing, we want to be set free from sin, then guess what? It is up to you. You have a part to play. It is partly your responsibility. Don't put yourself in tempting situations. That would be a good place to start. And if there is anything that's in your house that is pulling you away from the Lord, rip it out. You know, even like the movies I was watching, those things had to go. They had to go. I had to tear those things off, tear them off my life. The music I was listening to, I had to rip it out. Rip it out, tear it off, throw it away. It was interesting, too, because I got saved at a choir to fire in 1997. And afterwards, they had like this, kind of like this drum. And they said, look, if there's anything in your life that is just causing you to slip, to fall, I want you to take that thing. I want you to throw it away, like literally throw it away. And people are just walking up, throwing CDs, throwing cigarettes, throwing lighters, throwing all kinds of different things. And at that moment, I just, you know, I gained freedom. That's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to rip those things out of your life. Hear the message of Jesus. Hear how he's wanting you to tear it out, to cut it off, and throw it away. You know, and the thing about it is, you can't do it on your own strength. He tells you to cut it off, tear it out, and throw it away. But he also knows that you're incapable of doing it by your own. We are incapable of doing it. We need Jesus. We need his help. Perhaps you are dealing with some friendships that are very toxic to you right now, and you're having a difficult time cutting away that friendship. Guess what? You need the power of the Holy Spirit to help you, to enable you to say, Lord, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, my Lord, who strengthens me. Man, I can do it through him. I can sever that relationship that is toxic in my life. I can do it through Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, he says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So you feel like, man, I really want to apply this message. I really want to tear out those things that are offensive to God. I really want to cut it off, but God, I'm just struggling. He says he will not allow you to be tempted more than you are able to handle. Now think about this. The tempter, Satan, is controlled by God. God allows the tempter to tempt you in such a way where God already knows that you can overcome. In other words, God will not let you be tempted more than you can handle. He knows your breaking point. And so if you are being tempted this morning, the Lord knows exactly what point you will tip. Guess what? He won't allow you to be tempted more than what you are able to withstand. That's the loving God that we serve. That's the merciful God that we serve. And it says that he will provide a way of escape each and every time. Now it's up to us to walk into that way of escape. It's up to us to choose life. It's up to us to say, I don't want the things of this world. I want to live for the Lord. Amen. So it falls on us, part of our responsibility. And here's the thing too. You know, there's, going back to the scripture, God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. So there's your ability, and we know that your ability has to do certain things, that you have to do certain things to get those things out of your life. But whenever your ability falls short, guess what? In our weakness, he is made strong. Amen? He is made strong. Thank the Lord for that. You might be struggling with an addiction. It leads to death and destruction. The Lord would say, tear it out. Cut it off. Throw it away. Hear his heart today. Romans chapter 6, verse 12 to 14, it says, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who have been bought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. So Paul, whenever he's speaking to the Romans, basically saying the same things. Don't use your body for lustful things. Don't use your body to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Rather, use your body, use your eyes for the glory of the Lord, for unto righteousness, unto God. Let everything you do be unto the Lord. And then in the last part of verse 14, and I hope this will help you this morning, because it helped me as whenever I came across this. It says, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. Sin will have no dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you are under grace. Amen. So if you feel like you're being dominated by sin, if you feel like you're being dominated by your lustful thoughts, if you feel like you're being dominated by anger or by whatever it is, know that sin will not dominate you. It does not have the last say-so. The Lord has the last say-so, and the victory has already been given to you through Christ Jesus, our Lord. You're already a conqueror. So we read our scripture again. Matthew 5:29, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. You know, it's by God's grace that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. It was God's grace that Jesus tells us to tear it out, cut it off and throw it away. It was God's grace whenever he says this. He's like, I want you to tear it out. I want you to cut it off because it leads to death. It was God's grace. It was God's grace to not allow us to be tempted more than we are able to withstand. It's God's grace that he says sin will not dominate you, that ultimately God has the final say so. It is God's grace that we as believers, we will not experience hell. Amen. Does that excite you this morning? God's grace and all that he has done for you. He paid the ultimate price. He laid down his son for you so that you can have life this morning. You know, we don't have to be dominated by sin anymore. And I would pray that this message has stirred you to examine your own life, to say, you know what? Maybe there are some sin patterns in your life. And you just need the Lord to help you. You need to ask God to forgive you of your sins. You need to tear out certain things, maybe certain patterns, certain friendships. You need to cut away those things. You need to throw them away. You know, whenever you throw something away, it's not like you're going back and digging the garbage and trying to grab that thing back out. You throw it away and you leave it there. You leave it at the foot of the cross. So I'm not sure what it is that you're dealing with this morning. Well, let's just bow our heads and close our eyes and let the Lord speak to you. Let the power of the Holy Spirit reveal to you right now those areas, those sinful areas that you have allowed in. Hear the word of the Lord. Tear it out. Cut it off. Throw it away. Lord, today we just come before you and we just ask that you would search our hearts. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the severity of your word. Lord, it's a warning to us to tear those things away. Lord, it's a warning because, Lord, you are so much better. You have so much better to offer, Lord God, than what sin does. So, Lord, we choose you. We choose life and not death. Rid us of our sins, O Lord. Forgive us. Lord, that we would be as passionate as you were. Lord, that we would loathe our sins. We would not embrace them or flaunt them, O God. But Lord, we would despise our sinfulness. That we would want change. That we would rip it off, tear it off, throw it in the garbage, throw it away. Lord, today we sever our sins, O Lord. We say we don't want it anymore. We want to live holy unto you, O God. We want to be pleasing in your sight in all that we do. from this day forward. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you will not allow us to be tempted more than we are able to withstand, that you are a merciful God, that you are a good God, you are a righteous Father, and you love us with an unconditional love. Lord, you also said in your word, if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us from all of our sins and to make us white as snow. So Lord, for those of us in this room today who just need to repent, Lord, we take this moment right now. We repent of our sins. And I would say that you would even confess that sin as you're repenting before the Lord. Confess it before him and believe that he is faithful and just to forgive you from all unrighteousness. You don't have to bear the guilt and the weight of that sin anymore. You don't have to bear the shame of that sin anymore. You can be set free by the power of Jesus Christ. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit so that he will enable you to overcome those moments when you are tempted. You need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life to overcome sin. You can't overcome sin by your own self, by your own doing. You need the filling of the Holy Spirit. You need him to come and replace that sin, that sinfulness, that thing that will never satisfy you, that thing that will only bring destruction. Jesus wants to fill that part of your life this morning. Jesus wants to satisfy you. Surrender to him. Surrender to his lordship. Allow him to be Lord of your heart. Let him sit on the throne of your heart and not sin anymore. Get it out. Get it out. Lord, every ounce of sin, Lord, we confess before you, O Lord, and we ask for your forgiveness. And we thank you for your forgiveness. That we are no longer the men and the women who we were when we first walked in. But Lord, we are changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, O sovereign Lord. We pray that you will continue to convict us of sin and unrighteousness. Lord, as you continue the process of sanctification in our lives, we want to be more and more like Jesus. If that was you in this place, if you just needed, maybe you just need to make a fresh commitment before the Lord. Would you just stand before your feet? Stand on your feet. Come on, don't be ashamed of what others are going to think about you. Only think about what Jesus will think about you. Whenever you're standing before a holy and perfect and righteous God, it is just you and God. God sees everything. God knows everything. God knows every thought. God knows every intention of the heart. There is nothing hidden from the Lord. Would you just confess your sins before the Lord and receive forgiveness this morning? Come on, perhaps you just backslid a little bit and you just need to make a fresh commitment unto the Lord. Now's the day. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to make things right. Lord, perhaps your prayer may be, Lord, I've fallen short. God, I'm no longer the passionate person I used to be. I no longer am passionate about the things of the Lord. Would you come and would you renew that passion and that fire in my heart, oh God? Renew a right spirit within me and cast me not away from your presence. Perhaps that's your prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you for all that you are doing in our lives. We thank you for a brand new start. And Lord, that the old man has passed away. And behold, all things have become new. That we are a new creation in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we are no longer bound and we're no longer identified by the sin of our past. But we are identified by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We are. Our identity is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. We give you all the praise for what you've done in this place. Help us to walk in holiness. Help us to see sin as you see it, that we would loathe it with everything within us. Yes, that we would do what's in our means, but ultimately we would rely on the power of your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. We give you praise and glory, and let God's people say, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Go and walk free in Jesus' name. We'll see you Wednesday at 6:30 and for the ladies' meeting this Friday night at 6:30. Doors open.
let